You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. First Friday of the year, 2019. Welcome to our house, the All Marine Radio House of post-traumatic winning. Yeah, boom, all of that. Hope you're having a good Friday so far. Kind of just starting out. So we'll see what happens. The head chef's going to join us today. So we'll talk to him. Actually, we already recorded it. He had to do something, so I got up a couple hours ago and we recorded it. Kind of an interesting little discussion about the chef is 74, I'm 61. The things that have changed over the course of your life, and from technology to medicine to travel, you know, and what has impacted your life the most. So we'll talk about that. Interesting. So you'll hear from him today, and then you'll hear from the gunner in hour three. So, good morning to you. Hope wherever you are, whatever you're doing, that, you're easing into the new year in, well, and things are going all right. The, I've been diligently working on what we're going to do next week in North Carolina. And, I get more and more excited about it, as it gets closer. I was talking about it, yesterday or the day before. And, you know, just honestly excited to share the work that that kind of we've compiled here and the conclusions that we've drawn from going on 3 years of work and thousands of interviews and a lot of knowledge, you know, that has been gleaned. And a very, very little of it is original, although some of it is, the way it's been put together. And the questions that get asked and some of the conclusions that get drawn. So, but excited and excited to talk to people that we're going to be involved with and to hear their excitement about, you know, about this. So anyway, so putting the finishing touches on that, and we've never done it as an ensemble before. So Mike will have a part in it, and a guy named Josh Goldberg will have a part in it. And so, but really, you know, the thing that as I've worked on it that excites me the most is is you're going to be able to show people, right? This is almost assuredly in your future. If you haven't yet, you will deal with significant trauma in your life. Okay? And we're going to show you that it's normal. We're going to show you that you can live with it. We're going to show you that you can thrive with it. And we're going to talk about it, how it relates to you as a warfighter. We're going to talk about how you deal with it, how you create wellness practices for yourself that actually work. And then we're going to talk about how you mentor other people and ultimately close the loop on winning. And so when this darkens your doorstep, you know, to me the exciting part is you have this model that takes you from, you know, from soup to nuts, whatever the hell that means, from beginning to end. And I have a template that all these guys, all this knowledge that has kind of funneled into this has showed me in a lifetime. And again, this is all the cool part about it. It's all OJT. All right. I don't have a master's in psychology or psychiatry or therapy or anything that like that. All I've done is live this stuff. And so, so it's exciting. It's exciting that you're going to take something that's like, oh, they went through this, and be able to tell them, like, here, let me give you a blueprint how to get through it. And it's not my blueprint, right? It derives pieces from John McCain. It derives pieces from Jack Riley. It derives people from Peggy McNamara, from Elizabeth Smart, from Ken Rogers, from Kaysan, from Jeremiah Workman, from Fallujah. And so it derives pieces from this mosaic of experience is pretty cool. So have been working on that diligently, and so excited to finally do it Monday afternoon in North Carolina at Camp Lejeune. So we'll do that. Big news is
that
I'm not sure what the president thought he was doing in shutting the government down. And if he's trying to push the Democrats who just come to power in the House into a corner, and that if he thinks they will acquiesce to him, that the political pressure will be so great on them that they will be forced to accommodate him. So it'll be interesting to watch all of this play out. So yesterday you had the members of our newest version of Congress be sworn in. You saw Ms. Pelosi be given the gavel as Speaker of the House once again. And they have, as of last night, passed a spending bill that would end the government shutdown. The bill does not contain, much like the Senate version that was passed before they went on their break, does not contain or address any funding for a quote-unquote wall, whatever the hell that means to whoever it means something to. So if the president thought he was going to get any other reception, and he attempted to upstage him right by making an appearance down in the press room at the White House. So it goes. We shall see. We shall see. We'll check news headlines. There's a fair amount of it today. And so we'll talk about that. Least of all is the subject of a new Secretary of Defense. And you know what? Sometimes fate is unkind. I don't know that I would want the job of following behind James Mattis as the Secretary of Defense because of his almost cult-like following. And again, Patrick Shanahan is the acting. Normally that's simply a placeholder until you get somebody else in there. Latest rumors are that Jim Webb, Marine, rifle platoon commander in Vietnam, author of Fields of Fire, graduate of the United States Naval Academy, former Secretary of the United States Navy. I just have a hard time thinking that Jim Webb is going to deal with Donald Trump any differently than than Jim Mattis did. So we'll talk about that. That's in the news today. So good morning to you. The what was the other thing? Must have been a lie. All right. With that said, Whitney Houston, it is Friday, sings the national anthem and makes the day official. So good morning to you. January 4th, my oldest turns 32 tomorrow. Halfway to 64. What's up? Anyway, good morning to you. And this is dedicated to Patrick Shanahan and all the other B-team members who are now put in the crosshairs of being leaders of organizations that arguably they're not credentialed to lead. So good luck, boys and girls. Do a good job. The nation's watching you.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City. standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore. See, young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain. It's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose. So you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful, and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
All right, time to check the weather around Marineland. Clouds and 39 degrees in Quantico, Virginia. Clouds and 56 at Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. Mostly sunny and 42 in Granbury, Texas. 29 Palms, cold, sunny and 34. Pendleton, sunny and 30. Below freezing? Come on, man. Okinawa, Japan, 71 degrees, dark cloudy skies, pretty normal. Al Anbar, province of Iraq, on the western side. Clear, dark, and 56 degrees. In the Helmand province of Afghanistan, it is clear, dark, and 54, a carbon copy of yesterday. And in the Costa Mesa, Newport Beach area of Southern California, it is mostly sunny and 40 degrees. Are you kidding me? Looking for high of 65 today. 60 on Saturday. Rain Saturday night. 100% chance. Whoa, you don't see that often. And then on Sunday, 60 degrees. So there you have it. That is a look at your weather here. We'll take a break. More of All Marine Radio coming up next. Check some news headlines. Patrick Shanahan takes over. Jim Mattis's picture got taken down. I'll read you some of the comments that came because of that. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
Hi, this is Tim McGarry from the McGarry Mortgage Minute. Heard every Wednesday right here on All Marine Radio, where I'll answer all your mortgage questions from home buying to home financing, from VA to conventional loans to moving in. So don't miss it. The McGarry Mortgage Minute, right here on All Marine Radio, on the All Warrior Radio Network. And remember, my name is McGarry, and I'm here to help.
Find all of Tim McGarry's contact information on the Read Board page at allmarineradio.com.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of the 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner is looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Matt.
I appreciate that there, Nielsen. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs at allmarineradio.com. And I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you, and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you were promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. Are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara. And you're listening to my dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
It'll be kind of like being a pilot. You'll come out of college and you want a cyber guarantee. We'll give you a cyber guarantee.
Great.
And then if you make it through the school, then you'll get qualified and that's what you'll go do. If you don't, then we'll
room in the grunt.
Make you an infantry officer.
Worked okay for you and
worked
me.
Out for
so.
You. Of course, everyone knows that the most intelligent, handsome people on the earth are infantry officers.
As this would convey.
Exhibit A and B.
That's right.
I want to walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and self you make of this heartbreak. I want to drive fast till I break down in nowhere so I can finally cry these tears when I reach there. I scream, yeah.
/7:27 on the west coast of the country. That means it's 10:27 on the east coast and 9:27 in the central part of the country. So anyway, that's your local time. Brought to you by All Marine Radio. The all right, we're going to check some news headlines now. I'm going to read to you some funny stuff. poor Patrick Shanahan, right? So they take Secretary Mattis's picture off the SecDef Facebook page. Didn't know he had one, but he did. Here's some of the comments. This is why social media is so bad. Oh, here's one from some guy. You're not my real dad. Right. Here's another one. This guy has never even issued a knife hand, let alone how to deploy one. Farewell, chaos. I am sad. Next one. I'm not calling him dad, even if there's a fire. Next one. This dude wears socks and sandals and t-shirts in the pool. What the hell? Next one. Toby from The Office is now Secretary of Defense. Wow. Great. This stuff is brutal. You know, it's not brutal. It's actually kind of comical. Next one. Who is this guy? Next one, I believe, is a picture of the Harry Potter kid, the guy who plays Harry Potter. And below him, the caption says, "How dare you stand where he stood?" And then another one. This guy looks like the neighbor who would call the homeowners association on you because your grass was a half inch too tall. Next one. This is like Nickelback following the Beatles. This guy looks like he eats his salad with light raspberry vinaigrette. Oh my God. Shanahan, I know you're Irish, man, but I'm American. Good luck, bro. New pay raise is in effect. Alright, here's the chart. Let's see. Pay raise, 2.2% in 2007. On April 1st, another 0.5%. 3.5% in 2008. 3.9% in 2009. 3.4% in 2010. 2011, 1.4, 12, 1.6, 13, 1.7, 14, 1.0, 15, 1.0, 16, 1.3, 17, 2.1, 2019, 2.6%. This year's pay raise is the largest pay hike in almost a decade. All right, so who makes what in the DOD? So let's take a look at that now. Always interesting. All right, so and we'll do all of these with so we'll do the enlisted with what they would actually make. All right, so let's see. E1, make $1,500 a month when you join. Okay, after, let's see, an E2, makes $1,800 a month, and an E3 makes about $2,000 a month. So that's your basic Lance Corporal, makes about $2,000 a month. Corporal makes about $2,300 a month. Corporal, let's say, over 3 makes about $2,400 a month. A sergeant, let's say he's over 5 years, makes about $3,000 a month. A staff sergeant, let's say staff sergeant is at about 8 years. He makes, or she makes, $3,500 a month. A gunny, let's look at gunny at 10 years, makes about $4,000 a month. All right, let's look at officers. O1, so a second lieutenant makes $3,200 a month. A first lieutenant, over 2 years, normally the time it takes to pick it up, about $4,100 a month. And when they go over 3 years, makes about $4,800 a month. Yeah, boom. Bank that. Captains, over, let's say, they're normally at about 5 years, right? So over 4 makes about $5,600 a month. A major, let's say, 8 years, makes about $7,000 a month. Lieutenant colonels, let's say that's at about 12 years, they make about $8,000 a month. Colonels, I don't know, let's say about 15, 16 years, make about $9,500 a month. How much does a general officer make with more than 26 years of service? $15,800 a month. So there you have your pay scale. And I kind of adjusted it to, time served. So just to give you a better estimate, but that's how much everybody's making. I need to wish my, one of my nephews, Johnny Wagstaff, heading off to Officer Candidate School. So good luck, Johnny. Don't screw it up. It's amazing. I kind of laugh at my sons, and I even at John. They know so much now because of YouTube and the way the Marine Corps, you know, joins people. I didn't know anything about the Marine Corps when I went to OCS. I mean, I knew about the Marine Corps and kind of some things I had read, but that's about it. Now they watch videos, they know what they're going to do, they know what the program of instruction is. They've sat in on classes about drill, and because they do that now as poolees. They put them in a pool, right? They get together like every Saturday morning and PT and then have a class or some shit like that. Yeah, they're like already in, for God's sakes. And they know what the hell's going to happen. Yeah, I went down. And I enlisted. I want to say 2 meetings. I went and I saw a recruit, and I met an enlisted recruiter while I was looking for my tax forms. He asked me, He was standing there smoking a cigarette. I don't know if you've ever heard me tell this story, but he's standing in a doorway at the federal building in Encino, California, where I went to get my federal income tax forms. I'm walking down this hallway, headed probably to the post office in the federal building, and he's leaning against the doorway in his blue trousers, right, staff sergeant, right, and khaki top on. He's dark green Marine, smoking a cigarette. Dark green means he's black, right? And he sees me in my Brooks Brothers suit and my white shirt and maroon tie and cordovan loafers on, right? Little Merrill Lynch dork rolling down the hallway. And he looks at me and he says, "What's going on?" I said, "Nothing. How are you?" He said, "I'm all right." He said, "You'd be interested in joining the Marine Corps?" And I said, "Maybe." And he started laughing. He goes, "Yeah, right." And I said, "Well, who would I talk to if I was?" And he said, "I was just busting your balls. No need to, like, come on." I said, "No, I got to go get my federal income tax forms. I'll be right back." And he said, "Yeah, you will." So I go get my federal income tax forms, and I wanted a poster that they had. So I go in, and I said, "Hey, can I get one of those posters?" And he said, "Yeah." He said, "I'll get you a poster." And I said, "But who would I talk to about joining the Marine Corps?" And he looked at me, and he said, "Are you serious?" And I said, "Yeah." He said, "Really?" And I said, "Yeah, I want to talk to somebody." So he gets on the phone and he calls the OSO because he doesn't recruit officers. And he has an argument about. He asked me a few questions. He said, "Are you a college graduate?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "You play any sports? Cap many teams?" I said, "Yep, yep, yep." And he said, "And you're a college graduate?" "Yes." All right. So he gets on the phone and he says, and he's actually was negotiating because he wanted credit for me. And I didn't realize what he was doing. So then I met the recruiter once, and then I went back for a second interview, and the second interview is when I think I signed the contract, an aviation contract. But I'd talk to him on occasion. They'd call me. And Captain R.C. Erickson, he was an Artie guy, recruiting station Los Angeles. And so they sent me down to MEPS. I passed the physical. I got a report date. I got orders in the mail, and that was it. Hey, be in Quantico on this date at this time with this package. You're in the Marine Corps. And that's as much as I knew about the Marine Corps. I didn't know anything that was going to happen there other than they were going to make me a Marine. So, no. I mean, my kids kind of grew up in it. I mean, I didn't tell them what they were going to do. I just said, "You better be in shape." But, you know, because of the Internet, they could watch videos and whatnot. So they had an idea. Yeah, kids, they know the deal. So, anyway. And the Marine Corps' philosophy has changed. It used to be different commands that were in charge of recruiting and then officer candidate school or the recruit depots. Now that's the same command. And so when they get what they believe to be quality people, it's not the only function of the drill field and the recruit depots and OCS is you put them through that process and bring them into the Marine Corps. There is some weeding out that will certainly happen, but they don't expect those numbers. They're not opposed to each other. They send us garbage. Not in my Marine Corps. Yeah, we're supposed to be over that. We're supposed to be over that. This is from Bob Nielsen. "When I joined in 1959, $78 a month for a second lieutenant. In 1963... holy shit, man. $222 a month. Nice, Nielsen. I didn't realize he was in, I didn't realize he joined in 59. He got out after 10 years in the Marine Corps. The Interesting. I don't. Bob sent me a message that, you know, James Webb is being considered. James Webb is one of the smartest guys I've ever heard talk. You know, he doesn't lack for moral courage. You know, his last kind of flirtation with running for president was as a conservative Democrat, something you don't see a whole lot of anymore. I don't see him being a dancing chicken for Donald Trump. So I would be most surprised if he signed on to work for the president. We'll see, though. We'll see. I mean, I think it would be good for the nation, but would Webb do it given the way Donald Trump operates as the president of the United States? I'm not sure. Next story. Mike and I were talking about this yesterday, but it's a sad story, and information continues to leak out. An investigation is currently underway, latest developments, and Marine Corps officials say leadership at the Marine Barracks, Washington, may determine new safety measures following results of the investigation. You know, again, Mike's big thing is somebody who, you know, is involved in firearms his whole life, and is that we don't handle them enough. The other announcement is that Marine officials announced yesterday that a Marine involved in the New Year's Day shooting death was relieved of his guard duties and reassigned to administrative tasks pending the outcome of the investigation, which is standard stuff that you would do with anybody. But story's terrible. Kid, small town, Minnesota, wanted to serve his country for 5 years and come home and start a construction business, and that's not going to happen. And the only reason it's not going to happen is because of negligence. And there's no other way. There's no pretty face that you can put on it. It's a terrible, terrible story. Another interesting story is USAA, right, long been kind of the go-to financial organization of a lot of Marines. USAA Federal Savings Bank will pay more than $12 million to 66,240 military, retiree, and veteran account holders to resolve various allegations relating to members' accounts and resolving errors in a settlement reached this week with the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. The CFPB alleges that USAA failed to properly resolve errors, failed to honor member requests to stop pre-authorized payments through electronic fund transfers, and that it reopened accounts without members' authorization and without notifying them. The Bureau found the alleged violations during a review of the bank's practices. Under the settlement filed on January 3rd, USAA will repay $181.59 each to 66,240 members allegedly denied a reasonable investigation by the error they reported. USAA will also repay the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau a $3.5 million fine. USAA neither admits nor denies the allegation, according to the agreement. Yeah, so, again, USAA long been the, as I said, the go-to financial organization of most members of the American military. Now, I won't say most, but a fair number. And so, the, you know, what's interesting is I know people that have dealt with the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, CFPB or whatever, and they are, depending on who you believe and if you choose, my friends aren't fools, right? They say that's a pretty scary organization because of the scope of its power. Nobody checks them. So they don't answer to anybody. And they were set up to be this insulated organization. So kind of interesting little history to have. So anyway, Top five. General Allen wrote a piece, an op-ed piece, yesterday. That was in the news. So we'll get to that here in a second. Top five stories in early bird. Number one, White House mulls Jim Webb, ex-Democratic senator, as the next Secretary of Defense. I met the senator, and he's flirted with coming on All Marine Radio. But after he decided not to run, kind of went to ground. Representatives for Vice President Mike Pence and Nick Mulvaney, the acting White House Chief of Staff, have reached out to Mr. Webb, one of three officials said. Separately, a senior Defense Department official confirmed that Mr. Webb's name had been circulating at the White House. Those two and the third official all spoke on a condition of anonymity. Mr. Webb did not respond to a request for comments. Mr. Webb, a former Democratic senator from Virginia and candidate during the early phases of the 2016 Democratic presidential primaries, aligned his views with his views align closely with Donald Trump's views to pull American troops out of the Middle East and confront China more aggressively. I don't know that the president wants to confront China more aggressively, though. Mr. Webb might think that's a good idea. I don't get that from anything Donald Trump has said. So it'll be interesting to see how the the DOD changes with Secretary Mattis gone. How what it does changes, especially in the South China Sea. Let's see. The things that James Webb would have to answer for. In a 1979 opinion article in the Washingtonian magazine, Webb wrote a piece entitled "Women Can't Fight." Mr. Webb wrote that allowing women into the military, specifically in combat positions, would harm national defense. The article would haunt him throughout his political career, despite his changing views on the subject. Other names that have surfaced to replace Secretary Mattis include former Republican Senator Jim Talent of Missouri, two current senators, Tom Cotton and Lindsey Graham, Cotton of Arkansas, a veteran of the United States Army, and Lindsey Graham, obviously one of the leading conservative voices in foreign policy and military affairs. David Petraeus said he could not envision himself returning to a role in government at this time. Last week, the president said that Mr. Shanahan might be an acting secretary for a long time. On Wednesday, his second day as the Pentagon chief, Mr. Shanahan voiced a tougher stand against China, telling the military's civilian leaders to focus more on the country, according to a DOD official. So, Pat Shanahan laying it down over there at the DOD. We'll see. Big shakeup coming to the Senate Armed Service Committee. Who's in? Who's out? As many as 8 seats on the panel, nearly one-third of the committee membership, could change before its next meeting. The official committee assignment for Republican, released by Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell on Thursday evening, has 5 GOP committee members leaving in the 116th Congress. Leaving the committee, this will surprise you, is Lindsey Graham, Republican, South Carolina, one of the Pentagon's most vocal allies and one of the panel's longest-serving members. Graham joined the Senate Armed Service Committee in 2003. and he leaves as he's expected to ascend to the role of chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee. Let's see, Senator Tim Scott, he will depart alongside Senators Ted Cruz of Texas, Ben Sasse of Nebraska, and John Kyle from Arizona. The Democrats have already announced three new members to the Senate Armed Service Committee. Senator Tammy Duckworth, combat wounded Army veteran from Illinois. She's an amputee, just had a baby. I think she's a member of the, was she a member of the Senate or the House? Joe Manchin of West Virginia and Doug Jones of aerospace powerhouse Alabama will replace three departing Democratic lawmakers. The committee will add five incoming Republican senators, U.S. Representative Martha McSally from Arizona, who was named to replace Kyle, Kevin Cramer of North Dakota, who replaced, who won his election against Heidi Heitkamp, Marsha Blackburn of Tennessee, newly elected, as well as former Florida Governor Rick Scott, and former Missouri Attorney General Josh Hawley. So big changes coming to the Senate Armed Service Committee. Lindsey Graham not being there. Whoa. New Navy PT gear is here, just so everybody knows. That's right. Looks like a T-shirt. The days of the Navy's bright yellow physical training uniform shirts and shorts in service for about a decade are numbered. The duds will be replaced by a unisex size combination outfit of blue pants and shirt resplendent with the updated Navy logos on it. They'll eventually become available in both standard and high-performance versions. Yeah. I'll take a high-performance. I'll take a high-performance T-shirt. So, anyway. So, yeah, Navy rolling out. Blue on blue. That yellow, come on. Navy, let me just tell you, they can get some uniforms that straight up suck. The blueberry uniform, like, that has to go down all time as the stupidest thing, one of the stupidest uniforms ever created. Pentagon planning for a longer border stay if needed, according to Secretary Shanahan. That's, I don't know about that. All right. Acting Secretary Patrick Shanahan told President Donald Trump on Wednesday that the military is planning border security enhancements, suggesting that the deployment of active duty troops to backstop Customs and Border Patrol could be extended past the January 31 deadline. We're doing additional planning to strengthen the support that we're providing to Kirsten and her team, Shanahan said in reference to Homeland Security Director Kirsten Nielsen. Quote, we've been very, very closely coupled with Kirsten, he said. How about Secretary Nielsen, you dope? I know you're new there, Pat, but come on, get with the program. The collaboration has been seamless. That's awesome. U.S. military on the border, though. I thought that was just, we were going to do that for a while because this caravan was not going to become an enduring mission. So we shall see. And again, that's the problem with novices. Was Secretary Mattis pushing back on that? And now the novice, you know, he becomes the bobblehead? Number five, the new military pay raise in effect. Check out the 2019 pay chart. We've already talked about that. Next story, overseas operation. U.S. Intensifies bombing in Syria after Trump announced withdrawal. What? I thought we were getting out. The Army's top officer, General Mark Miley, whatever, makes a surprise visit to Kabul. And, again, I don't see any real need, but go figure. President Trump says he's ready to meet again with Kim Jong-un. Let me find what article in Time Magazine, Why Trump's Generals Have Abandoned Ship. Article about Patrick Shanahan, Trump's compliant new Pentagon chief. Anyway, and I want to get to General Allen here before we bring the chef on today. Time Magazine, Why Trump's generals have abandoned ship. Who wrote it? Oh, Admiral Stavridis? Right. So anyway, Admiral Stavridis, Stavridis. He's a frequent writer on the subject of leadership in the Navy. He was the 16th Supreme Allied Commander at NATO. And he's now an operating executive at the Carlyle Group. You see him, he's relatively active in terms of writing and speaking and whatnot. After a couple tumultuous years, President Donald Trump seems to have reached the conclusion that he has had quite enough of generals. Now, as a retired admiral, I have certainly been annoyed over the years by a number of generals, yet by and large, I found them quite effective as leaders, organizers, planners, strategists, the type one would expect from those who have proven their mettle in the long hierarchical climb up the ranks of the modern armed forces. Additionally, the vast majority are driven by integrity and values of courage, honor, commitment, while having been tested in life and death situations. All in all, pretty good selection of qualities. So why, after hiring quite a few, is the president turning on them? In the cases of H.R. McMaster, John Kelly, and finally James Mattis, all of whom I've counted as not just colleagues but also as friends, the details of each individual departure vary somewhat, but the common theme is actually pretty simple. President Trump simply cannot be briefed, staffed, scheduled, or organized in a manner that long-serving military personnel find effective. I once asked Mattis, while he was considering the offer to become Secretary of Defense, how hard he thought it would be to work for a personality like Trump. He said it might not be a, quote, mission impossible, unquote, but he knew it was going to be a mission very difficult. This from a man who has repeatedly taken on the toughest of assignments. The president famously does not actually read the voluminous policy papers with which he is presented. From the perspective of the senior military mind, this would be akin to a car refusing to be gassed up. According to multiple reported accounts, Trump's briefings have to be put in the simplest terms. The traditional complex military PowerPoint slides are an anathema to him. The military presents its shared wisdom by detailing a traditional set of information, assumptions, existing conditions, courses of action, centers of gravity, and in the end, the ultimate three options suggested by the decision maker. Suggested to the decision maker. The president prefers to go with his gut. Exactly. Which should scare the shit out of everybody in the room. This made for a continuous collision between the president and his generals, and the recent series of decisions by tweet, notably including the withdrawal from Syria, truly underscores the impossibility of molding the president's approach. And so I will skip to the final paragraph. In the military, we say the first duty of an officer is to bring order out of chaos. I'm glad the general stepped into the breach, but in the end, each of them had to ask himself, at what point does my serving in this White House become less of a guardrail and more of an enabler? And what will it ultimately mean that the hard-won credibility of my life and career supported the work of this administration? That is an intensely personal choice that I suspect each will address over time. but I do not believe that for each of them, leaving had a modicum of relief mixed with the bittersweet knowledge that try as they might, they could not accomplish the mission. Take a look at it. Let's see. Trump's compliant new Pentagon chief, Patrick Shanahan's record of deference to the president could be the reason the White House has installed him permanently as the Secretary of Defense. Known as Mr. Fix-It during his 31 years at Boeing, Shanahan has a reputation for cutting costs and cleaning up troubled programs like the 787 Dreamliner. These kind of management skills will no doubt come in handy in overseeing the nation's largest bureaucracy. But even more appealing to the White House, perhaps, is Shanahan's record of deference to the president. In his previous position as Deputy SecDef, Shanahan was never interested in challenging Trump or, for the matter, Secretary Mattis. He was running the business side of things, said Michael O'Hanlon of Brookings. Naturally, he was going to come across a more compliant figure. When Trump asked the military to stand up a space force, a plan Mattis initially opposed, Shanahan took up the mantle, spearheading the Defense Department's effort to establish a new branch of service. When Trump ordered a ban on transgender service members, Shanahan took on a leading role in recommending the path forward. When Trump demanded the Pentagon cut defense spending by 5% next year, Shanahan announced the department would prepare two budgets for his review, a $733 billion option and a scaled-down $700 billion alternative. This was in contrast to Mattis, who occasionally slow-walked White House orders, for example, Trump's desired military parade in Washington, D.C. on Veterans Day. During an extraordinary 95-minute cabinet meeting on January 2nd, Shanahan looked on silently as the president assailed America's wars in the Middle East, rewrote the history of Afghanistan and Russia, and slammed U.S. military leaders, including Shanahan's former boss. Patrick Shanahan, under a small amount of scrutiny and pressure, with his reputation of being a yes man. All right, John Allen, the article is entitled, I Was Special Envoy to Fight the Islamic State, Our Gains Are Now at Risk. The article appears in the Washington Post. He's now the president of Brookings Institution and obviously a retired four-star general. Already the first couple paragraphs. Four years ago, just before President Barack Obama appointed me as special envoy to the coalition fighting the so-called Islamic State, I laid out a set of ideas for how to defeat and ultimately destroy the terrorist group. Because the Islamic State was a regional and global problem posing an imminent threat to the United States, it was clear that its defeat would require international coalition. I recommended that this coalition, once formed, be tasked with halting the group's forward momentum, empowering indigenous forces to be the final and lasting agents of the Islamic State's defeat, and coordinating the much-needed stabilization effort once the fighting had subsided. I believe then and remain convinced that after taking on the role of special envoy, that only through a comprehensive and multilateral approach could the Islamic State be truly eliminated from the world stage. Ultimately, the broad strategy executed by the Obama administration and largely continued by the Trump administration was successful. The Islamic State was halted in its tracks and was slowly but surely rolled back into Iraq and Syria. Yet President Trump's recent decision to announce the defeat of the Islamic State and pull U.S. forces from the region demands that we confront the question. After more than 3 years of the coalition campaign against the group, what is the condition of the Islamic State today? The answer requires a bit of context. Let me see if I can get to the last. I'll get to the last part of it so I can cut to the chase. Yeah, you can find it in the Washington Post. All right, last two paragraphs. To be clear, the Islamic State is not defeated. It remains a local, regional, and global threat, and notions to the contrary are misinformed. Though coalition efforts have successfully degraded the Islamic State's core territories, the departure of the U.S. forces leaves the door wide open for the group's resurgence. Even if, as some reports indicate, this departure may be more drawn out than initially expected, the damage done by the broader message, the abandonment of our local partners and others in the coalition, remains unchanged. The Islamic State is not defeated until the idea of the caliphate has been defeated. In the absence of U.S. global leadership, and where necessary, its forces, along with a real long-term alternative to the terrorist allure as a regional and global actor, the gains made these past 3 years remain fragile and incomplete and could easily unravel. And indeed, under this administration, I fear they will. You remember John Allen, who spoke at Hillary Clinton's nomination that night. So, no stranger. He's kept a low profile since then, if you can keep a low profile at Brookings Institute, but he pretty much has. So, we'll take a quick break, and then the chef will join us. So, there you have it. Good Friday morning to you. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.